here's a story from The World.
Here's another impact of the pandemic. Authoritarianism and extremism seem to be surging across the globe. Luke Cooper has been tracking this. He's an associate researcher at the London School of Economics and the author of a new book called Authoritarian Contagion. He joins us from London. To be clear, Luke, your book is not about disease contagion, but contagion as a metaphor for how authoritarianism spreads. So let's get meta here. How has authoritarianism been on the rise through this highly contagious disease, COVID-19?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they replicate in very different ways. I mean, for a start, I think the current rise of authoritarianism as a phenomenon, which is almost universal across the world, it does pre-exist coronavirus. And in some ways, the jury is still out on how exactly coronavirus is going to impact it. The pandemic is still going on. And the mix of policies that you've seen from different governments all over the world, we can't identify one clear case that authoritarianism is green-lighted by the coronavirus pandemic or it's been thrown into decline. It's a much more variable mix. So COVID-19 has been a really kind of complicated issue for the rise of authoritarianism. And it's still not quite clear how exactly it will play out.
So I want to get to China, but maybe you can give me an example, the kind of policy you just talked about that you believe could have accelerated authoritarianism, the kind of policy around COVID.
So this does normalize a level of state intervention into people's individual personal liberties, their deeply felt personal liberties, that is clearly historically, I think, unprecedented in many societies, not all. So that is something that we should be concerned about to some degree. I think it's necessary to have that attempt to suppress the virus, or was necessary before there were vaccines. But we should be cautious around whether we're introducing mechanisms that were introduced in an exceptional environment that then become semi-permanent.
Yeah, so a lot of things converging, authoritarianism, disease, privacy issues. Let me just ask you, what do you see as the risk of obligatory vaccine passports in this discussion?
I suppose what the questions that we need to ask about it is the way that I would frame my response. So who controls the information? How is it allowed to be used? What kind of democratic scrutiny do citizens have? And what kind of rights as individuals do citizens have over how their information is used? So I would just basically counsel caution on vaccine passports rather than say a big flat and categorical no to them.
So, Luke, if you look at China, the deaths, the reported ones anyway, are among the lowest in the world per capita. We know China is an authoritarian state, but are those low numbers a result of authoritarianism or simply good governance?
I think they used that very strong institutional structures that they've built extremely effectively to protect public health. And so did their very totalitarian model help them? Yes, I think it probably did. Because when you say to citizens in Wuhan and the government says to them, you can't leave your house at all, and we're going to monitor this on a street by street level with local teams, that's something that in a totalitarian society is much more culturally acceptable to the population than it would be in a democratic society. So I would be very cautious about upholding China as a model. But of course, there is something that we can learn not only from China, but also democratic societies like Taiwan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, that at least in the first phase of the pandemic were much more effective at suppressing the virus.
I'm speaking with researcher Luke Cooper at the London School of Economics about the rise of authoritarianism during the pandemic. Is there a country, Luke, that you've seen has clearly become more authoritarian during the pandemic?
I think the huge power that Orbán in Hungary has gave to himself under the auspices of coronavirus is something that we should be worried about. But to be honest, he was looking for any opportunity to give himself and more power. It's a very, very authoritarian government.
I mean, it does show the slippery slope of where we are in this moment. Where exactly would you say this leaves democracy? Can it be restored in some of the places where it seems to be retreating?
Yeah, well, I suppose in some ways, you guys in across the pond are the big test question or the case study that everyone is looking at. I think that there are features of the new authoritarianism that Donald Trump's government in the US really closely encapsulated. So what the Biden administration is now tasked with doing is to try to say, well, look, can we protect American democracy from this ongoing threat? And what's the best way to do that? And I think in some ways, we're all looking at the United States to see whether kind of the social justice agenda, the economic agenda can be strong enough that it really rebuilds the legitimacy of the democratic project, as it were.
So what should stronger democracies like the US and others be doing to empower democratic values around the world? Sounds like that's where the hope lies.
Yeah, I think in some ways it is. For example, the proposal that they've made at the World Trade Organization to suspend patents on coronavirus vaccines, I think that's hugely important because democracy, if it's going to mean anything, has to be able to deliver social justice and public health for the populations of the entire world on a universal basis. And at the moment, we have a terrible vaccine apartheid situation where most of the wealthy world is either vaccinated or going to be vaccinated quite soon, and the poorest countries in the world aren't vaccinated. So I very much welcome Biden coming behind a people's vaccine. But those are the kinds of policies that I would like to see Democrats putting forward.
So the people's vaccine, does that in some way promote obligatory vaccination? And is that in line with values of democracy like individual freedom?
I'm not keen on the idea of obligatory vaccination. I'm not sure about it ethically, and I'm not sure about it practically either. So if you choose not to be vaccinated, unfortunately, it's not just a personal choice, because you're making it more likely that the virus will spread. So your personal choice does affect other people. So it's not an easy issue. And I don't think the people's vaccine promotes obligatory vaccination. It's rather giving everyone in the world the opportunity to have the vaccination. And that's the crucial difference. So I would promote consent rather than coercion, but we've got to make sure that everyone has access to this vaccine in the first place.
Luke Cooper is an associate researcher at the London School of Economics and the author of the new book, Authoritarian Contagion. Luke, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.